of the Quran, you don't just stop and look at it. Yasin, yes, many have read Yasin. وَإِذْ أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ اثْنَيْنِ فَكَذَّبُوهُمَا فَعَزَّزْنَا. Yes, what happened? We send them two, they belied them, they send them third. You type Surah Yasin, Surah 36, you scroll down to the ayah, and it shows you, this refers to the Prophet Jesus. He sent his disciples to the land of Antioch, and that's what came about. In other words, what you have is that you have that the best of the works were wahidis and suyutis. And I really believe there's a growing need in the school of Ahlul Bayt for a work on this area, without a doubt. In the school of Ahlul Bayt. But the question arises that these scholars like Wahidi, like Suyuti, like Fakhr al-Razi, like Ibn Kathir, when they wrote the Tafsir and next to it they wrote the Sabah al-Nuzul, did they allow their theological opinions to affect the Sabah al-Nuzul or no? Please focus on this point. If I see an ayah in the Quran and it says, قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. What if I don't like Muhammad Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Fatima, correct? What if I have an issue? Am I going to say that that ayah is revealed about them or no? You see, this is where the test came in Sabab al-Nuzul. Why? Some scholars said that the science of Asbab al-Nuzul cannot be 100% accurate. Why? Because the writer is obviously going to use his lens when he's writing. The writer, when he uses his lens, what's he going to do? He's going to use his lens to make sure that his school's opinion goes in there. You find Ibn Kathir, for example, on this ayah al-Mawadda, correct? He says, no, it's not Muhammad Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein. When Rasulullah was asked, is there anything that we can pay you for you during this service? Is there any reward you want? Rasulullah, we all know, said, قُلْ, Allah tells him, لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ بِالْقُرْبَى. I don't ask from you nothing except love for my family. You found that Ibn Kathir says, no, we don't accept this. He said, why? He said, because this has the person who narrates this has Shia narrators. So of course they're going to be biased. So this verse is revealed about someone else entirely. Habibi, even within your own school, they say this was revealed about Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein. That Rasulullah said, all I ask from you is love these. Look after them. Honor them. You found Ibn Kathir will not allow that. Even I'll give you another example. Surah 9, verse 113. وَمَا كَانَ لِلنَّبِيَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ كَانُوا لِقُرْبَى. It is not fitting for the Prophet to do istighfar for the polytheists, even if they're his relatives. Yes? Surah 9, verse what? 113. When you go to the Sabab al-Nuzul of this particular ayah, you open the Sabab al-Nuzul. As soon as you open it, you know what some came forward and said? This ayah was revealed about Abu Talib. I say, what do you mean? Say, yes, the ayah is clear that Rasulullah was told by Allah, it's not fitting for you to do istighfar for the mushrik, even if the mushrik is your relative. You found some of these scholars, what did they do? They said, yes, this was about Abu Talib. Abu Talib was Rasulullah's mushrik uncle. And so Allah told Rasulullah, do not pray for him on his deathbed because Abu Talib is a mushrik. Firstly, what's the problem with such a sabab? The first problem is this surah, Surah At-Tawbah, was revealed 12 years after Abu Talib died. Therefore, it can't be a sabab al-Nuzul, correct or no? If anything, they want to go into Shan al-Nuzul, no problem. But as for sabab al-Nuzul, no. Sabab al-Nuzul, firstly, Abu Talib. Secondly, Abu Talib, we know there are more than enough instances of his iman with the Holy Prophet. Let alone the fact that he recited the nikah of the Prophet. Let alone, for example, that his wife Fatima bint Asad was a Muslim and would have had to have divorced him if, for example, he was a kafir. Other examples. You found, therefore, that the area of Sabab al-Nuzul, was it 100% accurate? As in, can I go anywhere and simply look at any book of Sabab al-Nuzul and find the answer? No. Without a doubt, there are some whose theological opinions affected the way an ayah was revealed. Therefore, what do we do? Do we just take any ayah? No. What we say is, we look at a book of Sabab al-Nuzul, of Ahlus Sunnah, of the Shia. We look at the books of Tafsir. If both of them agree that an ayah was revealed about a particular personality, then we all put our hands together and say that, look, this is not biased, this is an objective analysis. If the Ahlus Sunnah has said this was revealed about X and we say it was revealed about X, then we take it. And that's why you find in the books of Ahlul Sunnah, the number of verses they say were revealed about Amir al-Mu'mineen is something quite phenomenal, without a doubt. Don't think Ahlul Sunnah don't have ayat which they've said have been revealed about Amir al-Mu'mineen. Do you know how many ayat in the Quran, even within Asbab al-Nuzul of Wahidi, or within Suyuti, they say that that ayah came down specifically about Ali ibn Abi Talib? A number of ayahs. Let's look at a few of them. Of the ayahs in the Quran where they say clearly were revealed about Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And all these ayahs, I hope that you can jot them down sincerely. Because one good thing about Shia, they love coming to majalis and not writing anything. It's a phenomenal attribute we have. The minbar used to be a minbar of knowledge. I don't know, was there a period where the knowledge went? I'm not sure. Because it seems like sometimes people came to a level on the minbar where it was just like, listen, let them just finish the 45 and let's go home. This minbar was meant to be a center of knowledge where the students under the minbar wouldn't stop writing, correct or no? You find that the first ayah that they quote was revealed about Ali ibn Abi Talib, Surah 32, verse 18, the ayah which I quoted at the beginning of my lecture. How many of you have heard, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا? Where have you heard this? Dua Kumail. You know, there are many people who, if you told them, where have you heard this? They'll say, Dua Kumail. If you ask them, did you know it was in the Quran? Many will say, you're joking. That ayah is in the Quran. I remember when I gave my majlis on أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُطَّرِ. Many people came to me and said, we didn't know it was an ayah of the Quran. We thought it's just the dua you recite at the end of a majlis. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. Is it right that the one who's a believer and the one who's an open sinner, yes? Can you put them all together equal? No way. Ahlul Sunnah and Tashayyu' both say, this surah was revealed about whom? This verse. Surah 32 verse 18 was revealed that the mu'min was Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen and the fasiq was Walid ibn Aqba. Yes? That Rasulullah had said, if you want to see the height of Iman, look at Ali ibn Abi Talib. And if you want to see the height of fisq, look at Walid ibn Aqba. Truly, because Walid ibn Aqba is the one who the Quran revealed the verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنْ جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَأٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أَن تُصِيبُوا قَوْمًا بِجَهَالَةٍ فَتُصْبِحُوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلْتُمْ نَادِمِينَ. You find that therefore this ayah was revealed. About whom? That Rasulullah said the whole of Iman. And without a doubt, on the day of Khandaq, didn't Rasulullah say the whole of Iman is entrenched in Ali ibn Abi Talib? No doubt. The Quran said what? أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ. You can't put the mu'min and the fasiq all in the same bracket. Subhanallah, ya Rasulullah. 23 years after you pass away, Ali ibn Abi Talib and Walid ibn Aqba, do you know where they were? Ali ibn Abi Talib has no position in the Islamic State. Walid ibn Aqba becomes governor of Kufa. That's our history, my dear brothers. What a lovely history we have in Islam, yes? The Quran said, أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا, yes? 23 years after Rasulullah has died, Uthman and his caliphate, Walid ibn Aqba is Uthman's brother-in-law. He made him governor of Kufa. Ali ibn Abi Talib for 25 years has got no position in Islam. Whereas these people put this man as governor, and this man is the famous man who led Salat al-Fajr drunk, yes? The man who led Salat al-Fajr drunk, where he prayed Fajr 4 rak'ah instead of 2. Therefore you found that this ayah was revealed about Ali ibn Abi Talib. Another ayah, Surah 13 verse 7. إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِرْ. Yes? وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ Had. You are a warner, O Muhammad. And for every nation, there's a guide. When Rasulullah was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what does it mean that you're a warner? And for every nation, there's a guide. He replied by saying, I am a warner to the people. And Ali is the guide for this nation. Without a doubt. Rasulullah is the one who warned the people. He is the one who warned the people about this. He is the one who told the people about the religion of Islam. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was the guide. That's the second ayah. A third ayah, both agree, was revealed about Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Idha najaytumu ar-rasula. Faqaddimu bayna yaday najwaakum sadaqa. O you who believe, if you come to ask questions from the Prophet, pay a sadaqa before you ask questions. Yes? Why? Because Rasulullah, of course, no doubt, the Holy Prophet, some people used to come waste time with him, yes? Some would say, oh, Prophet of God, can I ask you, where's my mom? So he'll say, what do you mean? He said, you know, my mom's died. Where is she now? So he'll say, well, I don't know. Allah will decide. Okay, where's my dad? So he's like, I don't know. You tell me, where's your dad? He's like, he's passed away. He's like, okay. So he's like, where is he? Heaven or hell? He said, only Allah knows. Another one would come to him and say, where's the day of judgment? So Rasulullah would turn around and say, well, only Allah knows. And some of them wouldn't leave. No, because when knowledge is for free, you don't leave the person. You don't leave the person. If it's for free, everyone starts jumping. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the heavens said, you want to come and seek knowledge from this man, pay him. Pay him. Sorry, who's charging? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, you have to come and pay? Hold on a minute, ya Allah. Hold on, knowledge is for free, ya Allah. No. You want to come and visit him. You appreciate knowledge, yes? You appreciate each of you's got to pay. No, but this is Rasulullah, he's giving ilm. And the person who gives ilm shouldn't charge. No. Pay. None of them paid except one man. Let's add another one. Another. Let's have another Nara Haydari. Another. We're honored. We're honored. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. We're honored on a night like this that we are the servants of Ali ibn Abi Talib, correct? We're honored because it's only our Imam when this verse was revealed. He himself said, it's the best dirhams I've ever spent. Yes? That when Allah ordered, you want to come and visit this man, the Prophet, what, you think you can come and visit him for free? You think this man done all this sacrifice for knowledge so that you come for free? No way! I'll charge you! Pay! You want to learn about Islam? Pay! Ya Allah, how could you? How dare I say to the Lord, how could you? He knew these, when you give them for free, all of them jump. When you make them pay, all of them run. His character and the human being. Only one man. Ashfaqtum an tuqaddimu bayna yadayakum bayna najwakum. Yes? Have you thought twice? An tuqaddimu bayna yaday najwakum sadaqat. You're thinking twice about paying? Yes? Don't worry, I forgive all of you. Abrogate the verse, leave it. But only one man acted by this verse. Ahlul Sunnah and Shia both agree. Only one man. He'd come, and he's the one who would pay to the Holy Prophet. Therefore, 32:18, 13:7, you have this verse, Surah 58, verse 12. You have the verse on the day of Mubahala. فَمَنْ حَاجَكَ فِيهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْعُوا أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ ثُمَّ نَبْتَهِلْ فَنَجْعَلْ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. That when Rasulullah had to go and meet the Christians a year before he dies, Allah tells him, take the best of the best of the best of the best of your religion, correct? So as his woman, there are many women alive, correct? Many women are alive. He only takes Fatima to Zahra. Because if you put all those women, they wouldn't be the dust of Fatima. None of them. And that there are many sons alive. But he took Hassan and Hussein as his sons, yes? And there are many who called themselves the nafs of Muhammad. But only one who Allah titled the nafs of Muhammad. Yes? Because when you're about to take a person to meet the Christians, when you say that he's your nafs, what are you saying? You're saying, this man is my equal. This man, his light and my light are the same. You want to see me? Look in the character of this man and you'll see me. Therefore you find Suyuti says, the nafs of Rasulullah in that verse, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. In the verse about Tathir, إِنَّمَا يُرِدُ اللَّهِ لِلْبَعْنِكُمْ مِنْ رَسَّهِ الْبَيْتِ. Who was it revealed about? Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Hassan, Hussein. The verse, for example, about giving the ring away in ruku', correct? Scholars of the Sunnah and the Shia agree that one man gave his ring away when in ruku', Allah inspired him in ilham. like he inspired the mother of Musa. Didn't Allah say in the Quran that we revealed to the mother of Musa to suckle him? Likewise, Allah revealed to Ali ibn Abi Talib to give away his ring in ruku'. Ayah after ayah after ayah after ayah were revealed about Amir al-Mu'mineen. If Allah says, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُنذِر وَلِكُلِّ قَوْمٍ هَادٍ Ali ibn Abi Talib. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا Ali ibn Abi Talib. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Ali ibn Abi Talib. فَمَنْ حَاجَكَ فِي مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَكَ Ali ibn Abi Talib. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ Ali ibn Abi Talib. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نَاجَيْتُمُ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَةً Ali ibn Abi Talib. So many ayat were revealed in the books of Ahl Sunnah and the Shia in praise of Amir al-Mu'mineen. However, what began to happen? After Rasulullah died, those who were in power knew that these verses relating to Ali have to change. And Muawiyah pulled off a coup with one ayah where he took it away from Ali ibn Abi Talib. How? Ayah 207 of Surah 2 says what? وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِ نَفْسَ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ There are those who sell their souls for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, correct? You see, there are them who sell their soul to the devil. There are those who sell their soul to their families. There are those who sell their souls to their companies. One particular high level is when you sell your soul for the pleasure of Allah, isn't it? It's the highest level possible. You found that Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib on the night of Hijrah, he sold his soul to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? When Rasulullah came to him and he said to him, Oh Ali, would you sleep in my bed tonight? Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen replied to him, It is as long as it keeps you in peace, Ya Rasulullah. Are you in peace? Are you secure? He replied to him, Yes, I'll be in peace and I'll be insecure. So then he looked at him and I'll be in security. So then he looked at him and he said that my soul is sacrificed for your soul and my life is sacrificed for your life. He slept on that bed on that night. What does the poet say about that blanket on the bed? He says the blanket was yaqeen and the bed mattress was tawakkul. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was in the middle of both of them. Correct? That blanket was yaqeen and the mattress was tawakkul. And Ali ibn Abi Talib was infused in both of them. That Jibreel and Mikael speak in the heavens. And Allah asks them, which one of you is willing to sacrifice their life for me? And all the angels say, Ya Allah, we don't mind, but we prefer to live. He said, go down and protect the son of Abu Talib. For there's a young man at that young age. How old was he at the time? He was not older at the time than what, 22? Around that age, yet you saw him ready to sacrifice his life for his prophet on that night. You know what Muawiyah did? Muawiyah came to Samara bin Jundub. Samara bin Jundub, Bukhari takes him as a chief narrator, yes? Samara bin Jundub is a pious human being. Bukhari takes him, they take him as a pious narrator. Muawiyah came to Samara bin Jundub. He said, Samara? He said, yes. He said, you know ayah 207 of Surah 2? What's the sabab in nuzul of this ayah? He said, it's Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, what do you mean? He said, everybody knows that this verse was revealed in his honor, that the night he slept in the bed of Rasulullah, Allah sent down the ayah in the Quran, there are those who sell their soul for the pleasure of Allah. He says, is there any way we can change the reason of revelation? I tell you, if Amir al-Mumineen's name was in the Quran, they would have changed the Quran as well. If not, burn it. So instead of changing the Quran, why not change the tafsir, correct? He looks at him, he says, any way we can change the reason of revelation? You think it's something small when you change the reason of revelation? You're changing the minds of generations to come on this ayah. That instead of generations looking and saying, this is Ali ibn Abi Talib, people will look and say, who? He said to him, how much will you pay me if I change the reason of the revelation? He said to him, I'll give you 100,000 dinars. I said, what? 100,000 for changing the tafsir of an ayah of the Quran from its sabab in nuzul? He said, 200,000. He said, not a chance. 300,000. Not a chance. 400,000. Yes? That's like you today asking someone to change something in the council. Yes? And you'll say, I'll give you $400,000 if you change this document. Who would do that? Unless you have a vicious hatred towards the man. Yes? Samara bin Jundub turned around. And remember, Samara hated Ali ibn Abi Talib as well. Both of these were anti him because of how he was when he was younger in the battlefield. They used to hate him. So he said to him, who do you want me to put it in praise of? He said, can you make the ayah as a prophecy? It's a prophecy for who? He said, for Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam. He said, you want me to change this as a prophecy? What did he mean? He meant that the ayah was speaking about someone in the future. That Rasulullah said, in the future you'll meet a man who sold his soul for the pleasure of Allah. His name is Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam. Samar ibn Jundub came to the ayah. He changed the ayah completely in its sabab and nuzul. It spread in Sham for over 60 years. That Ali ibn Abi Talib, the night he was struck by a man who sold his soul for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine. That's the injustice that was done against this man. And I tell you, until today, the injustice is leveled against this man. That there are so many ayahs of the Quran, people don't ponder were revealed about this man and his great exploits. How could one say Abdul Rahman bin Muljam sold his soul for Allah when he killed the very sign of Allah on the earth on a night like this? On a night like this, you think of all those people who surround the grave in Najaf of your master Amir al-Mu'mineen. Every lover of Ali ibn Abi Talib, those of you who've been to his grave in Najaf, then you'll remember the sight of that wonderful grave. That grave which Prophet Adam is on one side and Prophet Nuh is on the other. That grave, may Allah bless all of you that one day you're able to perform the ziyarah of Najaf. Ya Allah, for those in this hall who haven't performed the ziyarah, please let them perform the ziyarah. But those of you who have seen that grave, I expect you to be with me tonight, yes? Because all of you have been also to Masjid al-Kufa. All of you have seen that area where he laid for the final time. And the condolences go towards the Imam of our time, Imam Sahib al-Zaman. May Allah give him patience in what we're about to narrate. Because on a night like this, on the 19th of Ramadan, he had his final meal with his daughters. He then left the house. They noticed there was something different. It's as if he was telling them as well, that these are my final moments in this world. It's as if one poet says it beautifully. It's as if he wanted to return to Fatima al-Zahra again. To see Fatima one time after he hadn't seen her for many years. He left the house. He noticed that even the animals outside the house were even making sounds. When he entered the mosque, he saw a man sleeping on his stomach, yes? He came to him. Who was it? It was Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam. When he came towards him, he said, you shouldn't sleep the sleep. This is the sleep of Shaitan. That was the man who Shaitan had overtaken. And the Imam went towards praying that final prayer. Yes? May Allah give you all patience. He began with that final prayer. He moved into his ruku'. He moved into his sujood. From the back came Abdul Rahman ibn Muljam towards the front. And he struck Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib on the top of his head. At this moment, the Imam called out, I have won by the Lord of the Kaaba. At this moment, when he fell on the ground, Imam al-Hasan ran towards his father's body. He sat by his father's body, and next to him sat Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. When Imam al-Hussein sat, he took the head of his father. He saw the blood pouring from the head of his father. The reply that came was a beautiful reply. The blood was all over the face of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen. But Imam was thinking something else. He said, Abu Abdullah, is this you who holds my head? Imam al-Hussein replied, he said, Father, it's me, Hussein, who holds your head. He replied back to him by saying, I wonder who holds your head on the 10th of Muharram. When he lay there on the ground, one narration mentions something. It mentions that they lifted him. He began to walk, but he was limping, yes? Because the strike had affected him so badly that he couldn't walk properly. He left the mosque, he was limping. All of a sudden, he turned around to Imam al-Hasan. Imam al-Hasan looked at him, he said, Father, what's wrong? He said, my son Hassan, please let me stand straight. Hussein, hold me from the other side. So they both
both held him. When he was walking, he was standing straight. Imam al-Hassan said to him, "Father, Father, why? Why do you want to stand straight?" He said to him, "I see Zainab on the front of the house. I don't want Zainab to be in shock when she sees her father like this." I say to him, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, if you didn't want Zainab to be in shock, then what would you have done when Zainab saw Shimr sitting on the chest of Imam al-Husayn?"
Anna lillahi wa anna ilayhi raji'un. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to raise us with Muhammad and Al Muhammad. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst those who hold on to the Quran. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst those who ponder over the Quran. Allow us to be amongst those who remain attached to the Quran. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to perform the ziyarah of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen in the holy land of Najaf. Provide us with the shafa'ah of Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. Ya Allah, raise us with the Imam on the Day of Judgment. Hasten the reappearance of our 12th Imam, Imam Sahib al-Asri wa-Zaman. Ya Allah, allow us to be amongst his companions and those who follow his message in this world and receive his shafa'a in the hereafter. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the Surah al-Fatiha. But before it, the loudest of your salawat.